Sky Sports Radio. It's time for Going Greyhounds. With all the news from kennels and courses around the country, here's Mark Duclos.
Yes, the intro's got it right at 26 to 11 for the next 30 minutes. We're Going Greyhounds and, well, he's had all sorts of health problems, but we've eventually got the alcohol out of his system from that three-week holiday. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Andrew Bensley.
The dulcet tones. Good to have you back on the radio.
Thank you very much. It's been a few weeks. Thank you to Timmy Newbile for holding the chair here, and hopefully we can catch up to date with everything that's been going on with Greyhound Racing. Of course, there's plenty of news, Benz. We've got the Nationals on at the moment. Adam Wallace has stepped down from GRV. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But it really is exciting times for Greyhound Racing at the moment.
Well, when we get to August, it's National times, and it started at Sandown, didn't it, last Thursday night with Fernando Bale, and a couple of others have stepped out over the weekend. Can't wait for Wentworth Park this week.
Yeah, you did right. All the Nationals, most of them kicked off last Thursday evening. As far as the group events are concerned, we had the Group 3 Laurie Healy and Memorial Maiden at the Meadows on Friday afternoon. That was taken out by Good Odds Angel for Frankie Hurst. $22,500 going to the winner. In the top end, well, of course, the Darwin Cup is the feature thoroughbred race today, but last night we had the Group 3 Darwin Cup for the Greyhounds, and Steve White took it out with his galloper Superphonic, who beat Tommy Savalas' Miss Jackpot, and Tearaway Size also for Steve White at ran third. So big time at Darwin at the moment with both thoroughbreds and greyhounds. But as you mentioned, the Nationals kicked off last Thursday evening, and we had heats of the National Sprint and Distance at Angle Park in South Australia. The winners there in the sprint heats, Emily Senorita in 30 and 12, Young Gun McBain 29.99, Calden Gambino in 30 and 42. The distance, there were two heats there. Grifter Bale in 43.22 and Psychotic Goal in 43.34. At Albion Park, we had heats of the sprint there. They'll only have the final on Thursday night for the state there at Queensland. And in the sprint heats, Annie Benz won in 30 and 17, Cindy Special in 30 and 11, and Kibo, wow, what a warrior he is. This greyhound won in 29.81. He's rising 3 3/4 years of age. He's just been a terrific galloper. He's a dual Group 1 winner, trained by Tony Brett now, previously trained by Darren McDonald, but Kibo goes from strength to strength. Now, Benz, let's talk about Sandown Park last Thursday night.
Yep.
Ron Ray Spirit, 29.60. Margins, 29.60. Lamia Bale, 29.74. West on East, 29.62. Who do you think the star of the show was,
Bob? Oh, it's a greyhound called FB.
FB, you're dead right. Fernando Bale ran 29 and 33. So he's basically run about five lengths faster than any other, or four lengths faster than any of the other winners there. He's now won 23 out of 25. He goes around on Thursday night in the state final. He's $1.55 currently with tab.com.au fixed odds. If he starts at that price, it's the longest price he would have started since April of this year. He's drawn box number 7. Kay DeShay, who went with him last week, a terrific run by that greyhound. It is $4 from box 1. Ron Ray Spirit, box 2 at $9.50. Margins, box 3 at $18. Mapunga Amar in 4. Lemia Bale in box 5. Above all, for Robbie Britton, it's drawn box number 6. It's $9.50. Fernando Bale, $1.55. And West on East for Angela Langton, it's at $18. So we saw one superstar on Thursday night at Sandown Park. On Saturday night at the Meadows, we saw another superstar. The champion stayer, Sweet It Is, has won her way through to the state final. If she gets through, she will be defending her national distance title that she won at Kennington last year. She won by 11 lengths in 42.27, ran about four lengths outside Space Star's record. Space Star returned from injury in the second of the heats, and unfortunately, he didn't make it through. It was won by Ruffy in Shalshi Rock, a $25 chance, running 43.35. That's around 16 and a half lengths slower than what Sweet It Is won her heat in. Now, Lady Toy, because Space Star finished out of the top four, Lady Toy is now the highest ranked stayer in the series. And the way that the Nationals work, we have heats conducted around Australia with the exception of Darwin. So it means the highest ranked sprinter and the highest ranked stayer automatically get a start if they make it through to the state final. Lady Toy, if she doesn't win the state final at the Meadows on Saturday night, she will get the wild card entry into the final. If Lady Toy wins the final, Sweet It Is will get the wild card entry in.
Okay.
So it promises to be an absolute super race, not just this Saturday night, but obviously at Wente in a couple of weeks' time. And at Mandurah, strange to say that, we had national heat and distance races at Mandurah. Of course, Cannington closed down at the moment. The sprint heats at Mandurah, Jimmy Marr gets in 27.55, Thunderama 27.81, Fun Boss in 27.46, the fastest, and Nero Bolt 27.47. The distance heats, Far Chung 37.33, Party Hunter 36.98, Deadly Boy 37.34. Now, the sprint heats for Tasmania will be held at Launceston tonight. But, of course, the big one will be staged at Wentworth Park on August the 22nd. Joining us now is the commercial manager from the New South Wales GBOTA, Ellen Dwyer. Good morning, Elle.
Good morning, Mark and Andrew. How are you both?
Very well, thank you. Now, you must be firstly looking forward to this Saturday night where we have heats of the sprint and also the distance at Wente. What are the nominations shaping up like?
Yeah, so we received good numbers for both. Box draw will be completed tomorrow. At this stage, we'll have four heats of the sprint and two of the stayers. So we're pretty wrapped that this year. They're just such an even field. I think you look at the free-for-alls that have been conducted here the last couple of weeks, and box draw is just so critical. You look at a dog like Brad Hillbilly that's come out and run 29.3 last Saturday night. Super impressive off box one. So I think if he draws an inside again, though he's done it off wide draws weeks before that, he'll certainly be hard to beat. But you know, you can't discount so many dogs, including dogs like Chickadesta Carter, who is looking to go back-to-back as well as Sweet It Is.
And Chickadesta Carter, trained by Doreen Dryan, and she had a bit of a lull in her form a few months back, but she's now back pretty much near her best. And she's a greyhound that goes particularly well at Wentworth Park. So she's only got to get through to that final, and she's going to give an almighty shake as well.
Yeah, you're right, Mark. I mean, the advantage of being the host state this year is that we do have two qualifiers through, plus the reserve. So there's that little bit of more of a chance for her to book that spot in that respect. But, you know, like I said, the free-for-alls leading into, you know, the state heats this week have really shaped that it will be just such an even contest across the four heats that we expect through the sprint. You know, greyhounds like Opus Fort and Wushy Feluca as a party can, you know, both clock really, really hot times as well. And you can't discount greyhounds, you know, young up-and-comer like Jason McKay, Smart Missile. He's put smart form on the board. Zipping Midge, our national futurity winner. They're just all quality greyhounds. So that's the really exciting thing about New South Wales qualifiers this year.
So we've got the heats on this Saturday night, the final the following week. That's the state final. And then on August the 22nd, it is the National Sprint and Distance Championships. We haven't seen them at Wentworth Park since, 2008. Mantra Lad won the stayers, and the sprint on that occasion was taken out by Knocker Norris. What have you got planned for Nationals final night at Wentworth?
Yeah, go the week before, Mark. Don't forget, we'll have most of the interstaters come in and trial the week before on the 15th on the state final night, and box draw will also be conducted trackside. 22nd, we've got the gala dinner, $90 a person. That includes three-course meal and drinks, entry and race book. So do encourage people to get onto our website, wentworthpark.com.au, and book in for the gala dinner entertainment. And as always, we'll be honouring the efforts of the connections to make it through to the Nationals. It's something special. You know, you always have group ones that, you know, dogs descend from across Australia onto the track, like our Golden Easter Egg, and we enjoy seeing that. But Nationals are something a little bit different and special in that respect for qualifiers coming across Australia in their own ways.
Elle, I just wanted to touch, the Nationals obviously the focus. We've seen the Wentworth Park Friday night meetings move to Wentworth Park on a Wednesday night. What's the response been like from participants?
Yeah, quite positive. I think that's shown in the quality of the programs. I don't think there's any doubt in anyone's mind with the quality of the programs have just grown enormously, and that's probably a byproduct of the ability to back up. Now, backing up's not every dog's caper from Wednesday to Saturday, but it's suited a number of trainers to do it one week and then miss another week. So to go a Wednesday to a Saturday and then back up to the following Saturday. I think, Mark, everybody realises that this state's hamstrung for a number of reasons around prize money. The number of greyhounds have left the state to chase bigger prize money elsewhere, and I guess it's one of the ways in the interim of other measures coming forward, like the tax parity, that, you know, dogs can earn sizably more money and stay here in New South Wales on their earning potential. So that's what the Wednesday Saturday gives. And I think in just the month that we've had to date, that's been shown. I think out of the five meetings now, four of them have received 11 race cards. So, you know, they're clearly very popular. Another box draw for this Wednesday to be issued again today, and 11 races again on the program. You know, I think we're getting more consistent 700-metre races. We've got a fourth and fifth grade this week coming up, and that's in the lead-up to the Nationals on Saturday, where we expect to have two heats. So I think all round, the racing has been it's more positive. We've probably seen a slight decline in trials as a result. You know, people are racing rather than trialling. And the paying customers are growing. We had a jump of 20 from the third week through to the fourth week in July. So, you know, it's slowly getting traction as being the option consistently on Wednesday and Saturday. And that allows now the Friday to be used as that prime spot by Greyhound Racing New South Wales for the group events later in the year. So the Blacktop, the first of those in late August as well. So Wentworth Park's metropolitan product doesn't come at a compromise now to showcasing those group events as well.
Yeah, and it's good news. It's good news for the participants as well. Good luck on Saturday night with the heats, the state final the following week, and then, of course, the big one, August the 22nd. We'll chat to you before then.
Thanks, Mark. Have a great day, guys, and hope everyone finds a winner soon.
Good on you. Ellen Dwyer from the New South Wales GBOTA there, Benz. And, of course, one of the men who's been in greyhound racing longer than what I have and longer than what you have, Neil Brown, is the publicity manager for the Australian Greyhound Racing Association. He's also the vice chairman of the Sandown Park Greyhound Club. Brownie joins us online now. Good morning, mate.
Yes, good morning, Mark and Andrew.
Tell me, the heats last Thursday night, we saw them at Sandown Park at your club. What more can we say about it, about Fernando Bale?
Not much you can say, Mark. He's getting there, isn't he? We're starting to compare him with the great dogs of the past, and I don't know if he's quite got the rapid journey yet, but he's probably passed everything else. Phenomenal performance, because I haven't seen conditions as appalling as they were last Thursday night, and his heat was almost in the worst of it, but he just charged out as we know he can, and ran off those splits early and mid-race, and raced away and ran the fastest time of the night, again, 29.34. Now, he's a great champion, and to do what he's done already at his tender age is fantastic, and he's bringing people back to see him race. There's quite a buzz around him, isn't there, Mark?
I was going to say to you, Brownie, what's it like trackside in Melbourne when Fernando Bale does race there? Does he attract the attention of more people? Do you get more people at the track?
I don't know if we're getting more people. We had a terrific month. We had a great promotion on each of the nights, and Fernando was there on two of them with our members' night. He was there. But, I think it's creating a lot of interest just around him in the industry. And, I think it's getting to people that don't normally know a lot about the champions that go around, and I think that's good in itself. To consider that he's probably going to race for the rest of the year, and let's hope that may be extended into the early part of next year. It's amazing what he might be able to do, Mark. He's a very, very exciting greyhound. It's a good final too. Some greyhounds are in great form, but very hard not to tip him on top, isn't it, from box number seven?
Certainly right. The stays, they will go around in the state final at the Meadows on Saturday night. Sweet It Is has drawn box number three. She is 145 with tab.com.au fixed odds. Lady Toy is at $2.45. And Sweet It Is, she was just absolutely dominant on Saturday night.
Yes, yeah, 42.26, her best time by a clear margin. And she looked as good as she's ever raced. She's going for back-to-back, only been done by Baronia Blossom in 95 and 96, and getting up near the $1 million mark if she can win in Sydney. Of course, she goes. First time, I think, since we introduced the wild card that it's been overdone and dusted with no scenarios. Both the Victorian State Finals providing the wild card as well as their winner, and Lamia Bale going as well, or Fernando Bale. And we've got likewise Sweet It Is, who was 13th. We'll be joining Lady Toy, regardless of where they finish. But yeah, look, on that run Saturday night, she's probably the right price, Mark.
She sure is. Brownie, we've got a race at Manawatu in 2 minutes. Just quickly, I wanted to touch on it because, as I said, you've been involved in greyhound racing for a long, long time. Can you pick one winner, either sprint or distance, that to your mind stands above all others?
I think my favourite, and I know you were there that night as well, back in 98 at Cannington, Rapid Journey's sprint win was, for me, stands above all the others. I go back to 68 when Princess Kerry won at Sandown, so I've seen a few of them, but it was a good field, wasn't it, Mark? I think Faithful Hawk, Reggie Might, Hot
yep.
Shot, they were all racing at their very peak at the time, and he just come from nowhere and come from a long way back with big margin and to make up and ran them down. He was a great, great champion. You tend to forget, don't you, Mark, as the years march on. But I thought that his sprint win was probably the best. And I loved Osty Joker's win in Launceston of all the stayers. But I might have been talking through my kick a bit there. And Simon Barker was a good mate of mine. So we had a great night at Launceston. But Rapid Journey, without any doubt, about the best of the sprinters I've seen, Mark. He was a wonderful greyhound.
And the best of the best have won the Nationals, both the sprint and distance. Yep. The first national sprint race was held in, or the first national sprint final was held in 1965 at Harrell Park when Best Son won it. And since then, we've had the likes of Red Zero, New Mariner, Tem Lee, Clover Duke, Bo Wetzel, Mr. Towai. I mean, the list is absolutely endless. Brownie, we'll talk to you next week after we know the fate of the state finals, both at the distance and the sprint at the Meadows and Sandown Park and also South Australia. Look forward to chatting to you then, mate.
Yeah, look forward to it. Thanks, Mark.
It's Going Greyhounds on Sky Sports Radio. Mark Duclos back, and he's in the chair. And as you mentioned at the start of the show, some, to many, shock news coming out of Greyhound Racing Victoria on Friday.
Yeah, and that news was that Chief Executive Officer Adam Wallace has elected not to pursue a further 3-year term with Greyhound Racing Victoria, and he'll leave the services of the organisation immediately. And Ben's... if we need to look back as to the impact of the live baiting scandal, it's quite simple. Since the program went to air on Four Corners, all the Greyhound boards and every CEO of Racing Queensland, Greyhound Racing New South Wales and Greyhound Racing Victoria have been removed. Mm. So if you want to talk about the impact of something like what the program on Four Corners exposed, You need to look no further because Adam Wallace has gone from Greyhound Racing Victoria. Brent Hogan has gone from Greyhound Racing New South Wales. Darren Condon has gone from Racing Queensland. And every single board has been removed as well. Now, if this is not the line in the sand and the clean slate that the sport has needed, I honestly don't know what it is. And I'm really disappointed that Adam Wallace, has decided not to pursue a new term because he is one of those administrators who has got a terrific track record. And like anyone in his position, he has his detractors as well.
Yeah.
But you only need to look at, a $13 million increase in prize money over the past 3 years. Wagering market share increased from 18.5% to 20.5% in 2 or 3 years. And I know you've had a bit to do with Adam as well.
Yeah.
It's disappointing when we lose these administrators. But I guess in some instances, some of these people are scapegoats.
Well, I was going to ask, Duke, you've got a better feel of it, but in saying that the boards have gone and the CEOs have gone from the three states down the eastern seaboard, is it the right thing to do, having been through what we've been through with the industry, but we seem to have at the same time lost so much experience? I mean, for example, Adam Wallace, I don't mind saying, is a good friend, and he's been around greyhound racing for the majority of his working life.
And this is the problem, I think, Andrew, when, you hit the nail on the head, who's going to replace them?
Yeah.
Because, it's like they say, you don't need to be a champion football player to be a champion coach and all that sort of stuff. Racing, and any of the codes fall into this, racing are unique industries. They're businesses. They're not sports. They're not relied upon for fans. They're a business that are supported and primarily through wagering.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you need people that have an understanding of the industry, and that is the intricate parts of their business as well. And a lot of people will say, well, they didn't have that much of an understanding if they didn't know that live baiting was going on. Well, as far as Greyhound Racing Victoria is concerned, Sal Purnas' report from the Integrity Commissioner and also the Chief Veterinary Officer's report, they basically absolved the GRV management of any knowledge of live baiting taking place. So again, you know, we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I know there has to be repercussions, but as said, right down the eastern seaboard, take a look at where it was on January the 1st this year and take a look at where it is today, you know, 8 months later, and it is a completely different landscape.
Yeah, it certainly is. Obviously, it'll be interesting to see who GRV put in as a new CEO. Mate, let's talk about the Richmond Puppy Auction.
Well, this is positive news. And we had the first of the Richmond Puppy Auctions last November. It was an outstanding success. Joining us online as the General Manager of Richmond, and that is Wayne Billett. Good morning, Wayne.
Yeah, good morning, Mark and Andrew.
Now, the second of the puppy auctions will be held this year, November 29. Nominations are now open, but
yep, they are. They opened on Thursday, and they will close at on the 4th of September. So yeah, nomination process is open. We actually got our first lot of nominations in on Friday, and it was a pretty high quality lot of nominations, Mark, to be honest. We've got a Collision Glamour Pack litter nominated by Barry Ward. Glamour Pack with a Where's Pedro Tiffy litter, which is a sister to Double Twist. So not a bad way to kick off the noms, I can tell you.
I was going to say to you, is the club worried about the turmoil that the industry is in at the moment? Are you worried about what will happen at the auction this year? Are you worried as far as numbers and also buyers?
Absolutely not. Our approach has been that this is an industry-related thing, and it's about our industry, and it's about supporting the people, the breeders, and also, importantly as well, giving people the opportunity to get into our sport. It's great. It's easy for people to be negative, Mark, and to be honest, we're not negative in our approach. We are a greyhound-related club. That's what we're to do, is to support and develop and foster the industry that we all love, and that's our goal. And it will look after itself. At the end of the day, we'll run the auction. What it ends up is how it ends up, but that won't detract from what we're trying to do and what we're trying to promote. And hopefully, we'll get some support. And we're really looking forward to it, to be honest.
325 pups were auctioned last November, a gross of $1.4 million, an average price of $4,370 per lot. Now, as you say, nominations are now open, and they're open to greyhounds well between January the 1st and June 30th this year. Pups sold at the auction, Wayne, they're eligible to go to the 2017 Richmond Riches Race Series. Tell us about the prize money on offer there.
Yeah, well, Mark, in total over the three distances, there's just over $200,000 available in prize money. But obviously, the jewel in the crown is the 535-metre race, which is $100,000 to the winner. And that is the richest provincial race on the greyhound racing calendar in Australia. So that's nothing to be sneezed at, and something that we've targeted, deliberately targeted, and we think that that will help generate the interest we need to.
Last year, of course, we broadcast on Sky Racing 2 the auction, and this year we'll be doing the same thing.
Mark, that's a niche for us too, and it's been a great promotion for us, and obviously with the support of yourself and Sky Channel and all the crew, it really did help showcase our industry, what it offers, and you know as well as I do, the feedback that we received from that has just been absolutely outstanding. We're absolutely 100% committed to doing it again, because it's what we need to do.
Nomination forms are available at the auction website.
Yes, they are, mate, or for people who they can pick them up from the club, but, from the website, the puppy auction website. And, so they can get them from there. And if they need any queries or any questions, happy to take anyone's call.
Okay, so the noms are now open, but they close September the 4th.
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, Wayne, we're going to speak to you in the coming weeks. We'll keep updating our listeners as far as some of the stock are concerned, but it's good news as far as that Glamour Pack litter, and hopefully the breeders will get behind this concept, because as I said, last year it was an enormous success, and there's no reason why it can't be an enormous success moving forward, particularly with the prize money on offer.
That's exactly right, Mark. And also, the industry, just in recent times, Mark, the government's announced tax parity. They've also, last week the Minister, Mr Grant, released the thing on the race fields legislation change. Now, in the next couple of years, the growth that our industry can possibly receive through extra resources and that, it's going to be, it's mind-blowing what it could end up to. So this is why we need to continue to have these events to invest in our industry.
Yeah, 100% agree with you there, Wayne. I mean, you know, the prize money is still terrific. I looked again last week and, it was still fantastic money for greyhounds that you can buy a really well-bred pup for $3,000 or $4,000. To get it to racing age, it's probably going to cost you another $4,000 or $5,000. But you look at the prize money on offer, the auction series alone, $100,000 to the winner. But we've got 31 Group 1 events. Minimum prize money is $75,000 to the winner.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And Mark, what a great way to get involved in racing. Through that sort of way is, it's a great affordable opportunity for people to get together, get syndicates together, and be involved. And as I said, that's one of the reasons, one of the reasons why we want to continue to do what we do, because we need to continue to get people investing and having interest in our industry.
It is the affordable way to race a winner, mate.
I couldn't put it any better.
Good on you, Wayne. Thank you.
Cheers, Mark. Thank you.
Wayne Billett there, Benz. And as I said, the Richmond Puppy Auction will be held on Sunday, November the 29th this year. It'll be broadcast on Sky Racing 2, but nominations are now open. People can go to their website at richmondpuppyauction.com.au.
All right. Now, we've got a big week that you've explained about with all these nationals. And I want to emphasise too with Sky Sports Radio, the boys give updates predominantly on all New South Wales greyhound meetings, 5 or 6 minutes prior to each race. So if you're a greyhound follower, you don't go to the track, you can listen to Sky Sports Radio at evening. Tim Newbold, the crew, Johnny Mack on a Tuesday night at Gosford gives you that vital betting information, what's happening with fixed odds and all that sort of stuff. So stay with Sky Radio. We're endeavouring to build the turnover and therefore get that money back into the industry. Duke?
Yep, you can listen to Sky Sports Radio while watching Sky Racing. but it is, and it's vital for punters that they get that pre-post information. And as you mentioned, Benz, it is a big week. Thursday night, we've got the state finals at Queensland, Sandown Park, and also at Angle Park. Saturday night, heats at Wenty, the state finals at Mandurah in WA. Tonight, of course, we've got the Tasmanian Sprint Heats at Launceston.
Good on you, mate. Good to have you back. And the Catching Pen is officially back tomorrow week.
I think it may have been pushed back an extra week now. I'm not sure.
Another week?
I know. Oh, don't worry, I'm champing at the bit, mate.
Those best ofs, they're getting old ofs. They've got to be rallying up the troop there.
You're not wrong there. Hey, let me tell you, I agree with you.
All right, we'll wait and see when the Catching Pen back. But the main thing is that you're back and you'll be back next Monday at 10:30.
And loving it.
Thanks, Duke.
Cheers, Benz.
Mark Duclos, Going Greyhounds every Monday morning from 10:30.